Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Let's dive into Daniel Dilemma this morning, all right? We're wrapping up the series. We've been in this series for, this will be our fourth Sunday. We were looking at the Old Testament book, the book of Daniel, but also I've used Pastor Chris Hodges' book, Daniel Dilemma, as a resource through this series. And the goal of this series has been to provide some tools, some insights in navigating a rapidly shifting culture, which you and I are living in. Right? I mean, even this week, you see stuff shifting, man. And not just to navigate it, but to do it well. And I don't want you just to survive. I want you to thrive. Right? And Daniel from the Old Testament has been our example. And he was taken captive into this pagan culture of Babylon. And even in the midst of that pagan culture, even in the midst of trying to be culturized and be influenced by the doctrines and the mindset of that culture, he stood firm in the midst of the dilemmas. He navigated it so well. And he had influence within that culture. Some think, well, again, we've talked about this the last 3 weeks, if I stand firm, then I'm going to be labeled as I hate this group or I hate that group. And so, or if I stand firm, then I have to be just kind of like a grumpy Christian and just kind of like a bulldog, just kind of like, you know, Eeyore. Because the joy of the Lord is obviously, you know, I'm missing out, but I'm just grumpy. Because everything that I see going on around me and just so disheartened. I want to submit to you, we don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that way. Some think, well, to love well then means that I have to accept everything. That I have to affirm lifestyles. I have to affirm decisions. I have to affirm direction that maybe individuals are going in, or governments going in, or family members are going in, because if I don't affirm that, then I'm not loving well. How many of you know there is nothing farther from the truth? Such a statement implies that an individual loves better than God loves. That I have to affirm this whatever in order to love that individual. It's a crazy rationalization, but you see it playing out. How many know God doesn't love everything? Come on. God doesn't have love. God is love. The most loving thing God says to you and I is to turn from your sin, so that you can have life and life more abundantly. Isn't that true? How many think that you can do both, that you can love well and you can stand firm? I'm absolutely convinced that you can do it. I'm absolutely convinced that we can do it. So last week we talked about standing firm. This week I want to talk to you about loving well. There's a powerful verse found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, if you would look in your Bible. We're going to get to Daniel chapter 6 here in a little bit, but I want to just kind of set the table for us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says this: the only thing that counts, how many know that's a bold statement? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. How is your faith expressed? Well, your and I's faith should be expressed through love. Your faith counts, but your faith is expressed through love. Your faith is lived out through a purity of love. And we have to realize that the church hasn't always done that right. I know for myself, I've not always done that right. There's been some times where I didn't express, you know, be it to my family or be it to a friend or be it to someone that was, you know, not driving as I think they should drive. Maybe I didn't express love. The beauty, though, of Scripture and the beauty of church history is that it isn't a bunch of perfect people making up the pages of Scripture or making up the pages of church history that have made perfect decisions all along the path. It is that God stepping into messes and redeeming messes of humanity and rescuing messes of humanity and giving us glimpses of love and truth and restoration. There's a powerful quote that I came across this week that says this: we cannot antagonize and influence at the same time. You will never win your enemies to Christ, so don't have any, was another quote. I thought, well, that's pretty... How many times have I said to us, listen, don't treat people like they're your enemy. How easy is it to think, though, that there's certain people that are enemies? I mean, I just, you know what, if they had a 1,000 gnats in their armpits, I'd be happy for them, you know, or whatever. I mean, Jesus never got in anyone's face but maybe the religious crowd of his day. So how do we have the ability to love without compromising the truths of Scripture? Well, we see it lived out with Daniel's life today. You see it lived out with Jesus. I mean, Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give to you. How many know it really wasn't that new? It was just a command that had got buried in all the layers of religiosity of the day. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Be by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you go to church every Sunday, you attend every prayer meeting, you give, you serve, you just are the perfect image of what a Christian should be. That's what it says, right? Now, how many know you think you should go to church? I think you should go to church every Sunday, but that's just your pastor's opinion. You should go to prayer, you know, all that stuff's good. You should, you know, if they'll know you're my disciples if you read from the King James Version. Or, you know, whatever. If you have a fish on your bumper, they'll know. No, it says, that's not what distinguishes Christianity. Jesus said what distinguishes us is that by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's like, Steve, that's so simple. Come on, man. Let's go deep. That's so elementary. Give us some depth this morning. Take me into the tabernacle and give me the significance of the placement of the altar and the ingredients of the showbread and connect that to salvation because I want deep. Talk to me about the horsemen of Revelation. I want depth. Love is so elementary. I've mastered it so well. I mean, we can go deep. Nothing wrong with that. We can sermonize about those horsemen if we want to. But the guy who fell overboard and is getting battered by the waves and getting abused by the waves and of life and beginning to sink doesn't care about the symbolic meaning of any of that stuff. He just wants a life raft. Right? He wants you to throw him one. Just get me to the boat. I want to live. So, you want deep? Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless Mr. Wilson if he's your neighbor. Do the basic principles of the Bible. Bless the people that persecute you. What's your greatest ambition in life? I mean, you're like, well, my greatest ambition is I want to be the best at what I do. I want to be the best mechanic. I want to be the best painter. I want to be whatever you do. I want to be the best at it, at the place of my work. Oh, man, my ambition is to go on a nice vacation every 6 months. I got my list, man. I want to do that. That's my ambition. My ambition this coming school year is to get a 4.0, not just a 4.0. I mean, I want to get a 4.25. If that was me, it'd have to be PE classes every hour. Right? Man, my ambition, I want to get a Jeep. It's my ambition. It's what I'm living for. People that trade their Jeeps in for other cars, just I want to, maybe your ambition is to have a close family. Nothing wrong with that. Oh man, I just want a tight family. I want my family to be tight. Check this scripture out. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Let love be your highest goal. One translation put it this way. Let love be your greatest aim. The Message paraphrase says this, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. And that love that we're talking about here is not just this earthly, ooey-gooey, feel-good type of love that people have. This is God's love, that God is love. That's your aim. That's your ambition to connect with and to live out. So this is where we're going today. We're going to talk about love. You can't help when I think about this, I can't help but think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? If you're familiar, if you've been in church, you're like, oh yeah, I know that. I knew you were going to go there. You want me to come and preach the message for you, Pastor Steve? I know that passage. I mean, if you've been to a wedding, you've probably heard 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you sat through a dating series, if you can remember back in youth group, and you know, and or maybe for our students here, Pastor Levi did a dating series here recently, and you heard about the love chapter. You've maybe read the book Five Love Languages, and you've seen it there. But when you read through this short chapter of Corinthians, you come to these conclusions. Number one, without love, all I say is ineffective. My words don't matter anymore if they aren't coming out with love. But you'd say, yeah, but I'm right. Okay, but no one, after a certain point, if you're not communicating what you're saying in love, after a certain point, people are like, speak to the hands because I'm not listening, right? They're not hearing what you're saying because there's no love. It's, how many know, it's not about winning the argument. It's about winning hearts. How many of you have ever like been in the argument with be it your spouse or a sibling, and you're just like, yeah, and you like you say something, and you're just like, man, that was like bottom of the ninth, full count, bam, and you cracked it, and you're like, take that, I just won, and you see that individual get crushed, and you walk away going, yeah, I didn't win. I'm stupid. Have you ever been there? This is challenging in the midst of our toxic, spiteful culture that we live in. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, in other words, man, you have all the smarts and you have, you're the most eloquent person and you're like just spiritually connected, but have not love. Have not love? Where's a drumstick? But I'm right. And you're like, how'd that go for you? And all of you are like, my ears are ringing right now. Point made. We live in a culture that feasts and preys on opinions and comments. Let's be the church that rises above the spite. For all of us, there's times for all of us where you just need to chew on your tongue a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to chew on my tongue before I say this. But I'm right. Okay. Just make sure as you're speaking, you're doing so according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says this, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. And it's not just, you have two means of communication, right? You have your words, but then also you have your nonverbals. And oftentimes, really, your nonverbals are communicating 70%, 75, 80%. Some scholars will say 80% of your communication is nonverbals. Some of you right now, your nonverbals are communicating to me awful things. I'm just kidding. Like I'm asleep. No, totally kidding. But here, look, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Be builders by your mouth. Look at it. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Without love, all I say is ineffective and all I know is insignificant. It doesn't matter how much you know. I mean, the reality is the increase of knowledge is crazy. They say it's doubling every 3 years, if not faster than that now. I mean, it's crazy. We're getting smarter. I mean, just sit down with a little kid and what they're able to do. It's just like, I didn't learn that until I was in seventh grade, man. We're getting smarter. But the world, it seems like it's getting more angry. It's getting more whatever. I'm not trying to be, a Debbie Downer or gloom and doom, but all the knowledge and all the cool phones, but we're getting more cut off. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing. Without love, all I believe is insufficient. Well, I believe in Jesus. Good. So does Satan. So do the demons. What we believe isn't enough. Believe and action needs to be connected. You were out there yesterday in that nice, cool 93-degree air doing what you were doing. Displaying action. Chapter 13, verse 2. If I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And doesn't that just check our motives? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Without love, all I give is incomplete. You're a crazy generous church. Just generosity this year is up compared to last. We had a great year last year. It's ahead of where we were last year at this time. In 2022 was our best year ever in missions in the history of our church, the records that I could find. Awesome stuff, crazy. It's exciting. Convoy of Hope. When I think about generosity is more than just financial resources, it's our time, talents, and treasures, right? And so when I think of Convoy of Hope and I think of the man hours that went into just last week, and then you think of the team lead hours that they gave months out in front of this last week, there was over 740 man hours that went into yesterday. Think about that. Becky Hoshaw, who was a missionary, she since went on to be with the Lord, but she had a, for those of you that are new to LifePoint, back in 2019, 2020, she had a massive stroke. She served a missionary in Honduras, and she had a massive stroke and didn't think that she was going to recover from that stroke, and she was a miracle, really, literally a living miracle. And she came back, and she was going to be able to, then they said, well, she'll never return home. And and she grew up on the south side of Topeka or Wichita here, and she'll never return home, and she's going to go home. And so because that was the year of COVID, we couldn't do a missions trip, so we adopted her home to make it ready for her, and it needed like a lot of work. It was a mess. Needed a lot of TLC. It was the home that she was raised in. Her parents had passed on, so the home had sat empty, and it was just full of stuff. And so went through it, and we cleaned it. We got it ready for her. And her good friend who helped us, worked with us, posted this week on Facebook that they were able to give a check from Becky's estate to the missionary, the ministry that she worked with down in Honduras. Now listen to this. Her home was on the south side of Kellogg, off in the Meridian Kellogg area. So it's not a luxury home. Her friend said, I thought that home would have sold for about $40,000. And LifePoint went in and dumped a bunch of man hours and a bunch of people contributed resources to it and just made this home beautiful. And so I thought it would sell for, you know, she said like $70,000 or whatever the post said. And it sold for $106,000 it sold for. Right? What's her name? Deborah, thank you. I was going to say Pam, but Deborah posted this picture. And from Becky Hoshaw, who was a single mission, she was single her whole life, never been married, served in Honduras her whole life. Because of her estate, they were able to give, her estate was able to give over $430,000 to that mission's work down there. Think about that. And her legacy lives on. And it was all, man, she had such a love for that nation and for the kids of that nation. The amount isn't what matters. It's the heart of love that matters. I mean, Jesus, telling the parable of the widow's mite, tells us that. 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I give all I possess to the poor, I gain nothing. Some of you are like, man, if I could just win Tuesday's Powerball or whatever the lottery thing is Tuesday, if I could just win that, then I'd give. Listen, generosity, it's not a dollar sign. Generosity is a love sign. Pastor William Cordoza, if you put that picture up on the screen, he's the guy in the bottom corner there, Pastor William. He's who we're working with in Soacha. Because of your faithfulness over since 2020, since our team was there in February 2020, we've contributed, supported him so that he could give. And so, I mean, just small area of Soacha, very poor community. I mean, you can see that picture on the left side. That's Soacha. It's built into a hillside. It's a very poor area. Many of the just shacks all over the place, tin roofs, wild dogs running around, trash piles everywhere. And because of your generosity, we were able to support him. And they made it through COVID. A lot of churches there didn't make it through COVID. Actually, the hotel where we stayed at back in 2020 didn't survive COVID. It's not there anymore. Because they were devastated. They handled it a lot different and were affected by it a lot worse than we were. But anyway, so we've been able to support them. And because of your generosity, they've been able to take some mission trips. And so that's what that picture on the boat is. They're doing a mission trip. They've done kids outreaches and stuff. And so it's through your generosity and the demonstration to continue to love. Why do we do it? Why do we go? Why do we stand out in a parking lot on a 100-degree day? Why? To let love live. Without love, all I accomplish is inadequate. lot of people like to measure accomplishments by dollars, degrees, and denim. How much money do I have? What degrees do I have behind my name? And what kind of clothes do I wear? We're all going to be audited before the Lord one day. Do you understand that? Your heaven and hell destination is based on what you did with Jesus. By grace, you've been saved. We've talked about that through as we wrapped up Romans chapter 7. But there will be a judgment after you get to heaven. This isn't bad news. This isn't something to be fearful of. But there's two judgments. The eternal judgment, what did you do with Jesus? And then the judgment seat of Christ, which is what did you do with what I gave you? The judgment seat doesn't determine your destination. It determines your reward. Because heaven is going to be great for everybody, but heaven's not going to be the same for everybody. There's reward. So what is the audit about? How, you know what, if I could just boil it down, how you loved and how you treated people. 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Or you could say, zilch. Your life minus love equals zero. Life point minus love equals zero. It isn't just about standing firm in our culture, though we must do that. But it's about standing firm and loving well in the middle of our culture. So check out the rest of 1 Corinthians 13 and think on it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So what happens when we love well? How do we do it? You do it like Daniel did. You see him standing and being respectful. You see him not swaying and being influential. Look at this powerful verse in Daniel chapter 6, 1 through 5. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps. So that would be like the city councilmen in our day, to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself. In other words, he's like, I'm not going to be like everybody else in my culture. He distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities. How many know you don't? In my world, I don't have to be the best preacher. I don't have to be the best teacher. In your world, you don't have to be the best construction worker or teacher or whatever you do. You don't have to be the best mom and dad. You don't have to be the best athlete. Just embrace godly qualities, and it will separate you. I promise you that. It will. I've seen it happen hundreds and hundreds of times. That the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Think about that. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find no corruption in him. Wouldn't that be nice? Because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Lord, right now we just pray for leaders in our nation. God, that you would put men and women in places of authority that would have the spirit of Daniel upon them. And they would live and they would conduct their life in a way that is honorable to you and reflects your righteousness and your truth in all things, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. He was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. How many know you can't control your skill set? can't control your natural attributes. You can't, I mean, your personality is your personality, right? How many of you ever took a personality test, and as you're taking that thing, you're like, I know what that word applies to this personality. That's really not me, but that's what I want to be, and so I'm going to circle that because I want to be that type of a person. Have you ever done that? I'm the only one. It's really, I know what that means. That's really what I want to be. And so I'm going to circle it and see what comes out at the end. And you're like, oh, that thing was a joke. That didn't mean anything to me because that's not really who I am. It's not, you can't control, man, I'm tall or I'm short. You know, I'm thick boned or I'm skinny boned or whatever. You can't control all those things, but you can control if you love well tomorrow. You can't control your attitude. You can't control your tongue. Here are some things that you can do tomorrow to love well. Here are some things that you can do this afternoon to love well. Number one, serve them. Find needs and serve them. You're like, but I'm the boss. Great. Lead the way. Look what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. Why, Paul? Why? To win as many as possible. That's what Jesus did. He went into their culture. Culture of the day, 2,000 years ago, knowing the sins they had committed and the thoughts that they were having. I mean, he didn't walk in to the culture and say, man, I see your thoughts this morning. That's stinking thinking. Those are bad. He didn't do that. He could have. I see you're going to burn, man. If you don't change your thinking, you're going to burn. What did Jesus do? I mean, he wasn't afraid to call out sin. He wasn't soft in it because pretty much everyone that he heals, what are some of his final statements? And as he's be healed, you know, pick up your mat and walk and go and sin no more. So he's not afraid. He wasn't afraid to deal with people's sin issues. But Jesus connected before he corrected. He did it all the time. I mean, Zacchaeus, remember? The wee little man? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Climbed up in a... Some of you are like, I don't know that song. Right? And so here he is. I just wanted to put a song in your mind the rest of the day. It's going to be stuck in your head, and you'll just be like, oh. In Luke chapter 19 is the account, all right? So if you're not familiar with it, we're not going to take time to go there, but you can check it out later on your own time. Jesus is moving about. Zacchaeus, little short guy, climbs up in a tree because he wants to have eye contact. He wants to see this man that is changing and impacting the culture that he's a part of. And so he climbs up into the tree and he's looking down, trying to see Jesus as he's making his way. And Jesus notices him up in that tree. And Jesus doesn't stop and begin to call Zacchaeus out about all the money that he had stole from people. What does Jesus do? He says, hey, Zac, I'm hungry. Let's go to your house and get some wings. It was something like that, I'm pretty sure. And what happened? Zacchaeus got down, they went to his house, they ate. And the Bible says, and I don't know, you know, the length of time, and so I'm having a little bit of fun, taking a little bit of liberty with it, but because we don't know how long the time was, but the text does say this, that if you look at it, that after they ate, Zacchaeus does come out, and what does Zacchaeus begin to do? He begins to give back money, doesn't he? Why? Why do I? Connection brings change. Don't be afraid of the dirt and the muck of culture. Know who you are in Christ. Step into the darkness and be a light. Bring change. Number two, set an example for them. Some of you are like, well, I'm disqualified now. I know what I did this last week. I know how I responded to some people at work or whatever. Count me out. My life's a mess. You may not be where you want to be, but in the name of Jesus, you're not settling for where you're at right now. Earlier this morning, I was here and just praying and working through the message, and I just read that, and I just felt like this prophetic, just this spirit of the Lord to say, man, you need to speak that over somebody. So I want to say it again. You may not be where you're at, and you may feel like, man, I could never be that. I don't feel like that example, Steve. Well, don't settle for where you're at, because that's not where Jesus wants to leave you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Chris Hodges puts it this way: the greatest influence you can have on our world is how we live our lives. Doesn't have to be perfect. It's not, as we say it all the time, it's not about your perfection, it's about your direction. Number three, share Christ with them. In the chair back in front of you, or beside you, in the front row it was on your chair, there's this thing. Now I put it there, I didn't want to set it on your chair because I didn't want you to pull it out and it distract you from what I'm trying to talk to you this morning. So if you would, grab this thing. And within here is what's called a one-minute testimony. Now, don't open it up and don't start reading it, okay? Let me just talk to you for a second. The beauty of the church, not just LifePoint, I'm talking capital C church, throughout history, is this. Wherever there is hurting, you can see the church. In there, being a light, offering hope, offering help, stepping into the muck, stepping into the brokenness. I mean, you see it in the tragedies of outbreaks throughout history. You see it in the midst of war. You see it in the midst, and you see, well, what about the churches that caused war? Well, that's some of the muck that we talked about earlier. Can't deny some of that stuff. But in the midst of brokenness of humanity, you see the church stepping into that and being a light. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Okay? So I thought about having you do this right now, but I'm not going to do that because we all work at different places. But I am going to ask you that you would take this, or maybe during the worship time, that you would just take some moments and you would step into this, because some of you are in this place where, like, I don't have a testimony. I don't know what my, you know, and this will help you walk through a one-minute testimony of Christ rescued me from this, this, and this. And some of you in this place, well, man, I pretty much cut my teeth in the church. I've never been, like, not in church. And you, my friend, have the best testimony any of us could have. That's your story. Others of us, man, we have scars and whatnot. regardless of where you are, all of us in our life should see the need that we have for a Savior every like day and week, right? And so on the front side is, before I met Christ, I was da 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 da. And some of us are like, I pretty much circled the whole thing, right? Others of us like, man, these ones are the ones that stand out to me. On the back side of this is, since I've come to Christ, these are the things that I'm seeing in my life. Again, friends, man, it's not about your perfection. It's about your direction. And some of us need to just stop and remember what Jesus rescued us from. But do this, Peter admonishes. Be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. So I'm going to give the reason for the hope that I have. I'm not worried about your beliefs. I'm sharing. You asked me about my hope. Here's my hope. In 1 minute. And you have longer, take longer. But keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. That's what happened with Daniel, man. Everywhere we are compassionate in Jesus' name. Jesus is why we do what we do. The missions team going to Sawatcha in 2 months, in Jesus' name. If the worship team would come. On the streets of Wichita, once a month on a Thursday night, a group of people from LifePoint go down there and minister to the homeless population. It's in Jesus' name. Life groups, when we gather together and we engage with one another, and we launch those in about a month, 6 weeks or whatever, we do that in Jesus' name. But also when those life groups go out and they do ministry projects, it's a dozen or what, however many life groups we have at the time going out in Jesus' name. Why? Because strongholds fall in Jesus' name. Charity Gale, who is a singer, incredible worship leader, has a song called Echo, and I would encourage you to listen to this song. I would sing it to you right now, but you would say it was encouraging up to that point. But listen to this song. Here are the words. Now we proclaim in Jesus' name. Now walls fall down in Jesus' name. Strongholds break in Jesus' name. We are healed in Jesus' name. There's miracles in Jesus' name. So pour it out in Jesus' name. And it goes on. It's a powerful song. It's on repeat all the time for me. St. Francis of Assisi said this. It's a famous quote. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Steve Preston, who is an elder, and he's a U.S. missionary, elder here at LifePoint. He's a U.S. missionary for the Assemblies of God. He's a car guy, so he's not here this morning. He's at a car show ministering to his people, to a group of people that won't come to church on a Sunday morning because they could care less about church on a Sunday. A lot of them could care less about church on Sunday morning. So he goes there to build bridges and to minister and to win people to Christ. It's been a tough, hard soil. But he's not giving up. And the other day, he emailed me. This is so cool. This is such a victory in Jesus' name. He emailed me and he was like, hey, this is kind of a weird question, but this guy, one of my car guys that I've been, you know, friends with and doing stuff with and trying to minister, and he's one of those cantankerous guys, long ways from Jesus. But his son, I've been able to minister to his son and build a relationship with his son, and his son's come to faith in Christ, and his son wants to get baptized. Can we fill up the baptism tank? And his son, the guy that wants to get baptized, he's a truck driver, so his schedule's all over the place. And for our truck drivers that are here today, shout out to you, because I know there's some of you that are Monday through Friday, maybe Saturday, but there's others of you that are, you're over the road, man, and so you come when you're able to come, but he's over the road, and so his schedule's really weird, gone on the weekends a lot. Could we, like, put a date on the calendar? He's going to be home on this day. I can't remember, August 11th or whatever it was. Can we fill the tank? He wants to be baptized. And we can baptize him that day. And you know what I said? Why are you even asking? Just get here. In Jesus' name. Isn't that cool? Ah, man, I'm so excited for Stephen. Obviously, I'm excited for this man. He's like my age, the truck driver is. How do you summarize loving well? This is how we do it. How I act is more important than what I say. Gary Chapman, in his book, Five Love Languages, says this: when an action doesn't come naturally to you, it is a great expression of love for you to do that action. Love isn't something you do for yourself. I mean, think about it. Love is not something you do for yourself. It's something you do for someone else. Jesus didn't lean over to his Father as they're sitting on the throne and say, you know, Father God, I just want to love myself a little bit more. So I'm gonna empty my seat for a little bit for 33 years. I'm gonna step down and walk the muck and mire of that broken earth that's broken in its sin, because I want to love myself well. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Right? How do we do this? 1 John 4:19 says this: we love because he first loved us. It's all about connection. Who are you connected to? So, man, this, see, what you're asking me to do, it's way beyond me. You're right. It's beyond me. But if I'm connected to the God who is love, it's possible. This message is to lead us to the only person who can change our life and our capacity to love others. Romans 5:8, and I close with this passage of scripture. Romans 5:8, I love this passage. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Your capacity to love, my capacity to love, becomes doable because of that truth. Right? Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, it's all about connection. And there may be some here this morning, there may be some watching online that they look at their life and their life is, man, I've been concerned about dollars, degrees, and denim. It has been all about me, and I feel empty. And it doesn't matter how much or how little I have in my bank account, I have felt empty. It doesn't matter the degrees that I've received or my GPA, I have felt empty. It doesn't matter how well I look and how I'm dressed for success or how bad I look, because I don't have anything. I realize as I sit here today that the one thing that can fill the void in my heart is the one who placed that void in my heart, that God would step into that rightful place and fill me, forgive me, and have his way in my life. If you're here today and you're like, I've never done that, but I know that I need to do that. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I need to receive this love that Christ has for me, who first loved me in all of my brokenness, in all of my mess. I want to receive his His love. I want to know His love so that I can be a conduit for His love. If you're here today and you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never done that before. Maybe you're here this morning and you had done that at one time, but you've walked away and you find yourself here at Life Point Church in Valley Center, Kansas, for whatever reason. You're like, man, my heart's beating 100 miles a minute, and I know that I need to take that step. I need to let God have His rightful place in my life. And I want to do that today, this last Sunday of July, 2023. Ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. If that's you and you're ready to take that step, would you just slip your hand up in the air? I would like to pray for you right where you're at. Anyone at all? It's Steve. I don't know what it fully means, but I know something's going on in my life, and I want to, and I need to take that step. Anyone at all? God, you know us. You know where we're at and what we need, and if there's anyone in this place or watching online that needs to take that step of faith, God, Holy Spirit, I pray that your conviction, your drawing, your love would be so strong upon them that they can't resist it. They may be able to resist it for a moment, but God, let it just grow upon them throughout this day, throughout the coming days and weeks, Lord Jesus. We know that you want all, you desire all to come to repentance, all to have relationship with you. For the rest of us, we're here and you're just like, man, God, would you just enlarge my capacity to love? To love in truth and in righteousness, but to love well in every situation I find myself in. If that's your desire and you're here this morning, man, I just want to love well and I want to love large beyond my capacity. Would you just slip up your hand? God, I just raise my hand all over this place, Lord. Hands are going up. Lord, I just raise my hand to you and to say, God, I want to love well. I want to demonstrate and reflect your love that you have for humanity. And Lord, I know in my own strength it's not possible. God, I fail so often. God, I say things. My nonverbals give off vibes at times that don't demonstrate love perhaps. But God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would enlarge our capacity to love in a broken world. God, maybe it's someone in this room that we've built walls up to because of a conversation or a situation. And God, what you would ask us to do is maybe walk across the room today before the service gets over and have a little conversation with them. Maybe it's our neighbor who is far from you and we just wish they'd move away. But God, I pray that instead of that, Lord, that you would put a love in our heart for our neighbor and we'd walk across the street. Learn to love them well. God, as we interact with this 1 minute testimony, I pray that there would be gratitude that would well up within our hearts because of how well you've loved us in spite of us and the transformation you brought to us and the love of Christ that is within us. Oh God, let it grow large and have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Church, would you stand with me? Let's respond to the Lord. We're not done yet. I'm going to come back. I'll close this out. But let's just respond to the Lord in worship. If you want some time in the altar, God spoke to you about something perhaps throughout this message. You're like, man, I just need to take some time and pray. I encourage you, invite you forward to just come and spend some time with the Lord. If you want to just sit down in your seat and do that. But I tell you what, there's always something about coming to an altar where God just drives it a little bit farther into us. So let's respond to Him and let's worship accordingly.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.